Everybody has a Gemara?
Yeah.
So we don't have to do any copying. That's good.
I have one more minute till 8:30, but if you want.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me why we're learning every Pesachim. And I told him that
Isaac's coming.
I told him that my Goldschein is to blame for this. It was his idea. Last week I couldn't be here. I was Baruch Hashem in a chasana. No, that was Sheva Brachas I made. First night of Sheva Brachas. Thanks. And we still hope to get on track here to finish by Pesach. I'm not signed on a document, but we'll try to do the best we can. So I want to thank everyone for coming in. The weather conditions are a little bit challenging. Not terrible, but we got through Shivas Yemei HaMishnah with beautiful weather. Now this. So we're trying to get used to the transition. So we got up to Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. The Perek starts on Daf Tzadites Amud Beis. And we're on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. If you count down from the top, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines down from the top. The first word of the line is Disanya. And at this point, we start the Gemara of what's called Mafsikin. Mafsikin or Amafsikin, those are the two opinions. And just to give a little bit of a background, the Gemara was vacillating back and forth about a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And that was about eating on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Erev Pesach. The Gemara wanted to suggest that as far as Erev Pesach is concerned, where we have to, in a sense, limit our eating because we want to have a teovon for matzah, even Rabbi Yossi agrees that mina mincha, after mincha time, and that's the ninth hour, we have to stop our eating. The machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda then applies to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. Here, Rabbi Yossi is mekil. He says that as opposed to Pesach, where there's a special mitzvah of achilas matzah, we don't have to worry that if he eats on Erev Yontif, Erev Shabbos, he'll undermine his mitzvah of Suda Shabbos and Suda Yontif. And Rabbi Yehuda is the machmir. Rabbi Yehuda says that even on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, we should stop eating. And that's min ha-mincha l'mayla. In the case of Erev Pesach, Rabbi Yehuda has an additional chumra, and we have to start what's called samuch l'mincha, which means a half hour before mincha. So halfway through, between the eighth hour and the ninth hour, on Erev Pesach, we're going to stop eating. Now we get to the sugya mafsikin. What does mafsikin mean? Mafsikin means that he started a meal, and now the question is, it's time for his Suda Shabbos or his Suda Yontif. What should he do? Does he have to stop, terminate his meal? We'll see exactly what that means, to terminate your meal. What is that? What comprises that? And then he has to take upon himself to begin his Suda Shabbos, his Suda Yontif. That's called Mafsikin. So we have one Mandiyomer that says Mafsikin. If he started his Suda on Chol before Shabbos entered, now it's time for Shabbos, he's got to stop his Suda. He's got to terminate his meal. The other Mandiyomer says Ein Mafsikin. Now, this question of starting a meal on Erev Shabbos can break down into two possible scenarios. Did he have a right to eat that meal on Erev Shabbos or on Erev Yontif or not? Well, according to Rabbi Yossi, there's nothing to talk about, because Rabbi Yossi, in the case of Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, doesn't recognize an Iser Achila that you have to stop eating. He only recognizes that in the case of Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, this is a very relevant question. He's not allowed to be eating at that time. So then, what was the logic that the Gemara presents a possibility that ein mafsik, and that if he started his meal, he could continue his meal? And that's going to raise another scenario, that maybe perhaps he started his meal when he was allowed to start his meal. Like, let's say, for example, he started eating lunch, you know, noontime, on Erev Pesach, on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, and he's allowed to do so. But he extended his meal. It was one of those long meals. You know, maybe he had a lot of guests, I don't know what. And the meal continued and continued into nightfall. So on the one hand, we don't have to penalize him for doing anything wrong. He did nothing wrong. He was allowed to start his meal. But now he's getting close to Shabbos and Yontif. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, at this point he shouldn't be eating. So a similar Gemara appears in Masechta Sukkah. There the Gemara talks about a case where he started a meal and then came time for a mitzvah, like Kriyat Shema or another mitzvah, and the question was, does he have to stop his meal in order to do the mitzvah? And the Gemara makes the distinction, it depends when he started his meal. If he started his meal well in advance, before the Zman of the mitzvah, and he did that beheter, he was allowed to do so, then we're not going to force him to stop his meal. But if, on the other hand, he had no right to begin that meal, then we're not going to let him continue the meal because he started the meal be'isa. There was a chet. Now, if we're applying that yardstick to the case of achila on Erev Shabbos, then we may assume the following distinction, that if he started his meal lunchtime, which was beheter, and he continued his meal, we're going to allow him to continue the meal. But if, on the other hand, he started the meal when he wasn't allowed to start the meal, which means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, after mincha time, it's the ninth hour, he's not allowed to start a meal, so therefore we should penalize him and say to him, look, you had no right to start that meal, therefore you have to stop the meal. But for some reason, and this is what we're going to have to figure out tonight, the Gemara postulates that it's very possible that even if he started his meal beheter, when Shabbos comes around, he has to be mafsik. As opposed to every other mitzvah. With regard to every other mitzvah, we're not going to make him stop if he started beheter. We're not going to penalize him. And when he finishes his meal, that's when he'll pick up the mitzvah. But with regard to this prohibition of Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, even if he started his meal before the prohibition went into effect, lunchtime, I give you that example, the Gemara still thinks, mafsikin, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to stop.
The meal is not mitzvah. The meal he's eating is not mitzvah.
No, no, no. It's a Friday normal meal.
What if it's Purim? Friday Purim.
Oh, I don't know about Purim. I can't think that far in advance, you know, even though Purim is before Pesach. So let's take a look here. So we're up to Desanya.
You mean eating is not a mitzvah? It's a big mitzvah.
Right, right. But it's not a Sudas mitzvah. You know, a Sudas mitzvah has certain halakhic status to it.
So as it seems, the problem is only the end, not if the beginning is at a correct time or not. The end is the problem.
In other words, what we're saying is the following. If he had no right to start the meal, then the Gemara in Sukkah would apply here, and that whenever you have to fast or stop eating and then do the mitzvah, if you started be'isur and you had no right to start the meal, you have to stop the meal. The chiddush of our Gemara is, and this goes way beyond the Gemara in Sukkah, is that mafsikin is an absolute rule, according to the Ma'an Yomar who holds mafsikin, you have to stop the meal even though you started the meal beheter. And that's in contrast to what goes on in every other mitzvah. And that's why we have to ask the question, why is this different than every, you know, manishtana alayla zeh, why is this mitzvah different than any other mitzvah? So let's see the Braisa inside. Desanya. The Braisa quotes two opinions. Mafsikin l'shabbosos divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you started a meal on Erev Shabbos, and even if you started at beheter, meaning before mincha time, so you had every right to start your meal, we have to force you to be mafsik. Why? Because now it's dark, and now it's time for Shabbos. That's called Misha Chashecha. So he started his meal lunchtime. He was allowed to do so. The meal got schlepped out, and now it's dark. Now it's time for a Shabbos meal. Rabbi Yehuda says, despite the fact that you started the meal beheter and you were allowed to do so, now you have to terminate your meal. And Rashbam, who's the super commentary here on Arvei Pesachim, says that to stop the meal means the following. I mentioned last time, if anybody of you remember, that in those days they used to have a private table, a small table for each person who was sitting at the meal. So number one, says the Rashbam, we need what's called Akiras HaShulchan. We have to take the little table and remove it. And whatever's on the table, I guess we'll have to put it in the fridge, you know, for future use. Number two, we have to bench. We need Birkas HaMazon. And that means we have to terminate the meal that he started lunchtime many, many hours ago. And number three, at this point, he recites Kiddush. Now the interesting question is, and this is very complicated, does he recite Kiddush first and then Birkas HaMazon? Or Birkas HaMazon first and then Kiddush? Now, we don't have such a strong minhag like they did to drink a cup of wine in Birkas HaMazon. And there are people who are very machpid about that. And certainly on Shabbos they're machpid. But back in the day, it was a standard procedure that Birkas HaMazon was recited over cups. Now, if he recites Birkas HaMazon first to terminate his Friday Suda, if you know what I mean, then how does he drink the wine before Kiddush? Meaning he needs another cup of wine for Kiddush, and he can't kill two birds with one stone. He cannot use the same cup of wine for both Birkas HaMazon and Kiddush. That's a sugya that's going to come up much, much later on in that perek. Why does he need two cups of wine? And that's a sugya called Chavilos Chavilos, if you ever heard of it. So be that as it may, the assumption, the premise is he needs two cups of wine. If he recites Birkas HaMazon first to terminate his Sudas Chol, then he's not going to be able to drink the wine, because at this point he's Chayim in Kiddush. And he's not allowed to drink wine before Kiddush. Okay, that's called Asur Litom Kodem Kiddush. Okay, that's going to be a sugya unto itself. So therefore the Rashbam insists that he should recite Kiddush first, and then drink the cup of wine, then recite Birkas HaMazon for his previous meal, and then drink the cup of Birkas HaMazon. Very strange. This is going to gender a lot of problems in Hilchos Brachos, because you really have to be a bucky in Hilchos Brachos to know if you make a Bar Pri HaGafen in the middle of your meal, if you bench after the Bar Pri HaGafen, and now the Kiddush was supposed to begin the new meal, and now you're making Birkas HaMazon on the old meal. Very complicated. But be that as it may, Rabbi Yehuda, this is the bottom line that we have to know, holds Mafsikin L'Shabbosos. Shabbos came around, it's dark, you have to stop your meal, terminate your meal, and then you can go ahead and recite Kiddush. How do you terminate your meal? We need Akiras HaShulchan, we need Birkas HaMazon, and finally we're ready for Kiddush. This is all Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer Ein Mafsikin. Rabbi Yossi said that he had every right to begin his meal, and therefore he's allowed to continue his meal. There's no reason to penalize him. And that's really applying the universal principle as established in Masechta Sukkah, that when you started a meal beheta, you don't have to stop in the middle of your meal and terminate it in order to pick up a mitzvah.
Just the mitzvah, how does it play out for Rabbi Yossi? In other words, you don't have to stop the meal. It's now Friday night, so you're continuing the meal. There is a chiyuv to have a meal that night.
Right. And whenever you finish that meal,
whenever that ends, just go into your Shabbos meal.
Well, no. Whenever you finish your meal, you're going to have to bench.
Right. I'm saying whenever that ends, you bench.
And then after you bench, you're going to recite Kiddush.
The nachman is just...
Now the question is, do you have to eat another meal?
So the saying, as Shabbos comes in, you have to stop because you now have a chiyuv
of Kiddush.
Of Kiddush. And so the Shabbos, maybe.
Correct.
I mean, that's... Those
correct, are, correct. Let's assume both.
Those are interrelated.
And that's Rabbi Yehuda.
And
Rabbi Yossi says, look, you started a meal, it's a Suda's call.
You do have Kiddush and you have Suda, but there's no rush. In other words,
yeah, for no sure. Rabbi Yossi is not looking.
No, I'm saying Rabbi Yossi is saying there's no rush per se.
Finish your Suda.
That you can finish your Suda at 11 o'clock whenever you want to start. But you do have to start the next Suda of that night.
You have to complete the previous Suda with Akiras HaShulchan and Berkas HaMazon and then recite Kiddush. Now there's a gigantic machlokas according to Rabbi Yossi. Yeah. Do you have to start a new meal? And Tosus has a wild Shita that somehow, magically, you don't have to start a new meal because the Kiddush relates to the previous meal. Now, we always assume that Kiddush kicks off the new meal, and Tosa says within the framework of Rabbi Yossi, who says, Eim Afsikin, that the Kiddush could work retroactively for the meal that you ate before Kiddush. Nobody agrees with Tosa. So all the Rishonim say, no, you have to start a new meal.
That meal started at 11 a.m.
Doesn't matter when the meal started. The problem is that since the meal continued into Shabbos...
I'm saying the fact that it continued into Shabbos... And you make Kiddush at the end, that meal is your Friday.
According to Tosfos.
Is Suda number one for Shabbos, is your first Suda.
Correct, the first of your three Sudas.
Shalosh Suda on Shabbos.
Right. You're anticipating a lot that we don't know, but okay, you know this.
No, I'm just trying to fit it all in. So, although that meal, the majority of the meal was not eaten on Shabbos, and it sounds like you need to eat some of that meal on Shabbos at least, or Lav Davka.
Okay, so for that we'd have to go through the Tosfos with a fine-tooth comb. That's not for us now.
Okay.
But most Rishonim say that according to Rabbi Yossi, he'll finish his meal whenever he finishes his meal.
Right.
He'll bench, he'll make Kiddush, and he'll eat another meal. Mm-hmm. He just has to be careful that it's not an Achila Gasa. But Tosfos of the opinion is that he finishes his meal according to Rabbi Yossi, he makes Kiddush, and there's no need to eat another meal. Somehow he was Yotze, the first Suda, with the meal that he ate before. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we have to add another very important point here. When Rabbi Yossi says Ein Mafsikin, well, I don't get it. According to Rabbi Yossi, there's no prohibition in joining you from eating on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. So the whole discussion of Mafsikin or Ein Mafsikin is irrelevant. The Chiddush here of our Gemara is that even though you started Beheter, still, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mafsikin. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's always Beheta. You see, in Rabbi Yehuda, you could have differentiated. You could have said, you know, when do I have to be mafsik if I started after Mincha? I had no right to do so, and therefore I have to stop. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and he's Mechadish, and even if I started my meal before Mincha, I still have to stop. But according to Rabbi Yossi, this whole distinction, setting up a situation where either you started Be'isa or you started Beheta doesn't cut water. Doesn't cut ice. It's not relevant. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi never had an Isa prohibiting one from eating. Unless we're talking about Erev Pesach. Mm. So that would be very interesting. And here again, there's going to be a gigantic controversy. What would Rabbi Yossi say about Erev Pesach? You see, in Erev Pesach, we have the problem of what? Matzah. Just one second, Moshe. The floor is yours as soon as I can finish my sentence. Again, so we have the pressing need to eat matzah. If Rabbi Yossi is talking about Erev Pesach, and it means that since he started his meal beheter, before Mincha on Erev Pesach, he's allowed, according to Rabbi Yossi, Ein Mafsikin, to continue his meal, this is a very strange situation, because at what point is he going to eat matzah? And the plot goes thicker because at some point he has to make Kiddush. Kiddush is meant to be the first of the four cups of wine. If he's going to terminate his Suda with a Birkas HaMazon and he's going to drink a cup of wine, is that the first cup of the Dalet Kosos? Which is odd because Birkas HaMazon is supposed to be the third cup of the Dalet Kosos. Yeah, Moshe, go ahead, the floor is yours.
This year, Pesach comes on the night. So you have to burn the chametz by 11 o'clock. So how do you have a suda?
How can you be kovei a suda on Erev Pesach?
It's coming out on Friday this year.
But one second, according to Rabbi Yossi, you could ask that question every Erev Pesach. How could you ever start a suda before Mincha? After all, you're not allowed to eat neither matzah nor chametz. Now again, when we say he started a Suda, I'm not sure if it means a Suda that he was Koveya on Pas. I'm not sure. It could be that he was eating whatever he was eating. I don't know. That's a different discussion. Very fascinating question. Okay, so now we have Rabbi Yehuda. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? That if he started his meal when? Lunchtime, I call it. Okay, lunchtime. He started beheter on Erev Shabbos. Then, when Shabbos comes in, he's got to stop his meal. With all the different trappings and conditions that we mentioned before. Why does he stop his meal? Because of Kiddush. He has a mitzvah of Kiddush. Why is the mitzvah of Kiddush any different than the other mitzvah? Where if he started beheter and now it's Zman Kriyat Shema, for example, he doesn't have to stop his meal. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush, he has to stop his meal. That's what we don't know. So the Gemara says the following. Maisa. The Gemara likes to tell Maisim, if we can derive halachas from Maisim, Maisim Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Shayim Mesubim Biako. So it was Erev Shabbos, and they were all up there in the north, and they started eating their sud on Erev Shabbos beheter. V'kidei shalem ayom. They got so involved in this meal, they were probably talking to Rei Torah the whole time, that now they realized it's time for Kiddush. What do we do? Amalo, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yossi, Berebi. Berebi is a shame kavod. He called him Berebi, and he said to him, "Ritzoncha, if you agree, nafsik, should we terminate as suda? V'nechush l'divrei Rabbi Yehuda." Now it's not clear if Rabbi Yehuda was there, but let's assume Rabbi Yehuda was there. So here there's a machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether or not he has to stop. He has to terminate his meal. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel turns to Rabbi Yossi and he says, shouldn't we be concerned with Rabbi Yehuda Shita? And therefore we should stop our meal and immediately make Kiddush. Omar lo. So Rabbi Yossi got a little bit sensitive about it. Bechol yom v'yom ata mechavev dvarai lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel always paskin like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda. V'achshav ata mechavev divrei Rabbi Yehuda b'fanai? In my presence, you are accepting the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? Hagam lichbo shesamalka imi babayis? He quotes the pasuk in Esther. I mean, here, this is my house. I'm here. I'm in front of you. And now you're going to paskin against me like Rabbi Yehuda? I'm alone. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel backed off. He realized that Rabbi Yossi was getting hot under the collar. In Cain, now that you made this big fuss about it, lo nafsik, we should not stop our suda. We should continue our meal. Because if we were to be mafsik, shemayira talmidim v'yikvu alocha ledoros, if we would stop our meal now, then the talmidim will get the misimpression that we're paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against you, against Rabbi Yossi. And amru lo zozu misham achakavu alocha k'Rabbi Yossi. At that moment, how you say in English, gathering or convention, at that point in time, they declared that the halach is like Rabbi Yossi, which means that again, if you started your suda on Erev Shabbos, bizman heter, when you're allowed to eat your suda, then you're allowed to continue your suda even into Shabbos. Now, if I were to stop here, I would assume that the halach is like Rabbi Yossi, and I would now try to figure out what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi is pretty simple, because the Gemara in Sukkah says that if you started a meal beheter, you're allowed to continue it, despite the chiyuv mitzvah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is counterintuitive. He's saying that for some reason on Erev Shabbos you started a meal, and now you have a mitzvah of Kiddush, you have to stop the meal, terminate the meal, and be Makadish. Why is Rabbi Yossi so insistent that he stopped the meal? Well, why is the mitzvah of Kiddush so pressing? I mean, Kiddush itself, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's Doraisa or Derabbanan, but certainly Kriyat Shema is Doraisa, and yet you start a behetu allowing you to continue. And here in the mitzvah of Kiddush, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm going to put my foot down, you got to stop the meal for the sake of Kiddush.
But if Kiddush, again, yeah. If Kiddush is being Mekadesh in some way, as the day enters, to wait till 11 o'clock to do that would be a strange thing to do. I'm just saying, Rabbi Yehuda sounds to me like the more sensible opinion.
Well, wait a second. I don't get it, Aaron. The halacha of Kiddush HaShabbos is called Kviyah V'Kaimi. What does that mean? I mean, there is such a thing as Tosefes Shabbos. You know, a person could accept upon himself Shabbos as early. But the Kedusha...
No, but the Torah says Zachor is Yom HaShabbos.
Yeah, okay. Zachor is Yom HaShabbos means that during the course of Shabbos, I have to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Zachor is Yom HaShabbos. It doesn't mean that immediately when it's nightfall, I have to be Mekadosh. Kiddush is like any other mitzvah. Why should that mitzvah of Kiddush take precedence over Kriyat Shema? Mm. And all of a sudden, it's such a pressing mitzvah that we're not going to allow him to continue a meal that he started Beheter. And not only that, the plot grows thicker over here because the day of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Shabbos enters on its own. I don't need Berzon to get up and make a Kiddush in order for the day to be sanctified.
You're not sanctifying the day, but I was under the impression that the idea of Zachor Zem HaShabbos is something that should be done at the start of Shabbos.
Why?
Am I
wrong? Zriza Makdimim Lemitzvos, right?
Not a Zriza issue. That's a general issue of mitzvahs. But Zachor Yom HaShabbos relates to verbalizing the Kedusha Shabbos.
I don't know why that has to be at the moment of Knesset Shabbos. I really don't see that. In any event...
It would be strange to do that at Shalashudas. In other words, let's say, can we wait till the last... Would that make sense to wait till
I would say it has to be before Alos HaShachar. I'll tell you why. Because there are two chiyuvim of Kiddush. I mean, this is the Rambam Shita. The Rambam has a different Shita, but according to the Rambam, you have Kiddush at night, and you have Kiddush by day.
Right.
And Kiddush by day is not a substitute for Kiddush by night. So the latest time for Kiddush is going to be Alos HaShachar. But I don't see any difference between Kiddush at the beginning of the night or Kiddush at Alos HaShachar.
Other than the
principle of what? Of Zriza Makdim Limitzvah. So Rabos, I'll tell you what. If you don't mind, I'm going to change the rules of the game a little bit. Only because I want to get to the punchline before 9:30 when they bang on the door for my roof. And I'm going to ask you to hold on to your questions. You're going to have to trust me at this point that everything I tell you is Torah's emes. I'm pulling rank over here. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. How do we paskin? Again, the Gemara seems to assume that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. But yet Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel says something a little bit different. He says, Ein halacha lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo k'Rabbi Yossi. It's very odd. We very rarely find an Amora who puts aside both shitas of the Tanoim, put it in the back burners, and he paskins his own shita. It's a third shita. Ella, what do we do in this case where he started his suda lunchtime on Friday? Now it's chashecha. Pores mapa umekadish. He covers the shulchan, or at least the pas on the shulchan, and he recites kiddush. In other words, according to Shmuel, there's no pressing need to terminate your meal, but there is a pressing need to recite kiddush. How do you do both? How do you, on the one hand, continue your suda, and on the other hand, recite kiddush? In other words, Shmuel admits that he's in a little bit of a predicament. He's got to somehow fit in kiddush here, wedge it in the middle of a suda. And he feels uncomfortable about that. And his solution to that problem is by covering the chal, covering the pas. And the Gemara is going to go ahead and analyze this statement of Shmuel from a perspective of a statement that Shmuel made in a different context. Ainy, did Shmuel really say such a thing? Va'omar Rav Tachlifa bar Avdimi Omar Shmuel Kishem Shemafsikin LeKiddush. And here we turn to Kuf Amid Beis Kach. Mafsikin la'avdola. So it means that if you started a suda and now it's time to recite avdola, you got to stop the suda. But again, he's comparing avdola to kiddush, and he's saying that you have to stop your suda in order to recite kiddush. My mafsikin, if we take the word mafsikin in its classical meaning, then it always means that you have to completely terminate your meal. Lav doesn't mean akiras hashulchan. And again, the Rashbam here, it's birkas hamazon, meaning that if you started a meal and now it's time for kiddush, mafsikin, you have to stop the meal, terminate the meal with two things, akiras hashulchan and birkas hamazon, and now you're ready for kiddush. That's in contradiction to what Shmuel himself said. So Gemara says, lo, you misunderstood Shmuel. In this second quote of Shmuel, when he used the word mafsikin, he used it in a different context. Mafsikin means that you cannot push off Kiddush. Right? Mafsikin means you got to take a break in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. But he didn't mean to say mafsikin in the classical sense that you have to terminate the previous meal, but rather limapa, you have to take a covering, cover the pas, and now you're going to have to recite Kiddush, and then Shalom al Yisrael, go continue your seuda, zay gezunt, zay gebenched. So this is the shita of Shmuel, pores mapa umakadkish. So Rabosai, I would like to suggest that this whole sugya revolves around the following issue. Why, we asked, does Rabbi Yehuda mafsikin l'kiddush? Why is the mitzvah of kiddush any different than Kriyat Shema, for example, where the din is ein mafsikin if he started his achila beheter? The answer is the following. When we say that on Shabbos you're obligated a mitzvah of seuda, there's a flip side too. It's not just that you're obligated in the mitzvah of seuda on Shabbos, and in fact three seudos, but it's more than that. You're not allowed to eat a seudas chol on Shabbos. Where do I find such a strange halacha? Where can I find a basis, a peg to hang my hat on, that there's an iser not to eat a seudas chol on Shabbos? The answer is I find it in Kiddush. Because the halacha is asur lit'om kodem Kiddush. If a person eats before Kiddush, he has established a seudas chol on Shabbos. Shabbos engenders a chiyuv of a seudas Shabbos, and if, says Rabbi Yehuda, we allow him to continue the suda that he started lunchtime on Friday into Shabbos, that he is eating a sudas chol on Shabbos. And the mitzvah of Kiddush requires that all of his achilos of Shabbos follow Kiddush. Why? What's the power inherent in Kiddush? Kiddush engenders a suda Shabbos. Just like in Hilchas Brachos, in the Sefer Brachos, there's halacha being koveya suda. There's also halacha on Shabbos of being koveya suda of what? Not just being koveya regular suda, but being koveya suda Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you started a suda's chol. That suda's chol is prohibited on Shabbos. Therefore you have to be mafsik, which means you have to terminate the suda's chol by benching, etc. And now you have to recite Kiddush. Kiddush will kick off a suda Shabbos. That's absolutely urgent. That's time sensitive. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that not only am I obligated to eat a Suda Shabbos, but moreover, I'm not allowed to eat a Suda Chol on Shabbos. Suda Chol belongs to Chol, and Suda Shabbos belongs to Shabbos, and never overlap the two. And if they don't overlap, then if we would allow you to continue your Suda, and again, you started the Suda Beheta at lunchtime, then you're eating a Suda Chol on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, there was never an Iser to eat a Sudas Chol on Shabbos. You started a Suda on Chol, you had every right to do so, continue your Suda. Whenever you decide, you'll be Makayim the Mitzvah of Suda Shabbos by terminating your Sudas Chol and reciting Kiddush to kick off a Sudas Shabbos. Rabosai, watch this. Fundamentally, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agree to one point, and that is a Sudas Chol could not serve as a Suda Shabbos. There are two ways of going now. There's Rabbi Yehuda's way, and he says, well, since a Sudas Chol could not be a Suda Shabbos, you can't in any way transform it into a Suda Shabbos, you got to terminate it because you're not allowed to be partaking of a Sudas Chol on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says there was never an Iser to partake in a Sudas Chol on Shabbos. Continue your Suda. But even Rabbi Yossi agrees that Suda is a Sudas Chol. It's stempled with the personality, the character of a Sudas Chol. You cannot make that Sudas Chol into a Suda Shabbos. Finish your Suda. Whenever you finish it, Zayge benched, and then you can start a Sudas Shabbos. comes along Shmuel and he says, "Ein halacha lo k'Rabbi Yehuda and lo k'Rabbi Yossi. One suda could split into two and could serve simultaneously as both a suda Shabbos and a suda Shkol. How? How do I magically transform the suda from a suda Shkol into a suda Shabbos?" The answer is, I do a symbolic act which indicates that I'm now finished with a suda Shkol and I'm now beginning a suda Shabbos. They all belong to one suda. He's not going to bench. There's no Akira Shulchan. He continues eating his suda. But he's Poris Mapa, and once he's Poris Mapa, then magically he has the right now to start a new suda within the old suda. And that suda is going to be kicked off with Kiddush.
So he says it's not necessary.
Basically, fundamentally, in whose court does Shmuel belong? In the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? No, he belongs to Rabbi Yossi. Yeah. He basically agrees with Rabbi Yossi. Meaning that according to Rabbi Yossi, you can take a suda shkol and you can continue eating it. But he disagrees with Rabbi Yossi about the following point. And he says, if you continue your suda shkol, then what you're doing is you're forfeiting a suda mitzvah called a suda Shabbos. So Rabbi Yossi says, what do I care? It's a suda shkol. Let it continue as a suda shkol. No. Rabbi Yossi, I don't agree with you on one major point. You're assuming that once you start in the Suda Shkol, it remains a Suda Shkol. I disagree with you. You have the opportunity, you have the option of creating a Suda Shabbos within that Suda Shkol and setting up the second half, shall we say, of that Suda into a Suda Shabbos. Take advantage of that opportunity. There's no reason and no compelling reason to say continue with your Suda Shkol and then end the Suda Shkol. You don't have to end the Suda Shkol. We have a method by which you can convert that Suda from a Suda Shkol into a Suda Shabbos. And what's that method called? Pores Mapa Umekadesh. Through Prisas Mapa. Because it's very interesting that Prisas Mapa means that there's something here on the table that's going to be designated for a Shabbos Suda, for a Suda Shabbos. And if you ask me, I would say that that's the reason why we cover the matzahs. Again, leaving out the ethics of it, not to embarrass the matzah and all that. But halachically, why do we cover the bread? The answer is because we want to make sure that this bread that was placed on the table before Shabbos is not a Suda Shkol. It's a Sudas Shabbos. So what do? We cover the pot of the pas. We recite Kiddush. We uncover the pas. And now the pas becomes the kickoff of a Sudas Shabbos. And this halacha, Poris Mapa Mekadesh, basically applies every single Friday night. And you know what? It could possibly be that one should accept a minhag, which is the Ashkenazic minhag back in Germany. I'm not advocating that you change your minhag. That you don't even bring the pas out to the table until after Kiddush. And even if you accept our, shall I say, Glitziana minhag or Litvisha minhag, that you bring out the pas before the Kiddush, that's in order to establish that the Kiddush is b'makom suda, but nevertheless, you should bring out the pas after Shabbos started. Because then it could serve as the beginning of a Suda Shabbos. Alternatively, if your wife puts out the challahs on the table before Shabbos, then cover the challahs in order to be Mekayim Shmuel's din of Poreis Mapa Mekadesh. The Rashbam here quotes a Shiltos that anything that's brought out to the Suda Shabbos is a covered for Shabbos. It has to be brought to the table for the sake of Shabbos. The less you have on the table at the time of Kiddush, according to the Rashbam, the better you're off. The more food you bring after Kiddush to your table, the more you've become in the midst of Havas, Suda Shabbos, L'Kavod Shabbos. And now the Gemara says the following. Rav Huna, Ikla Lebei Reish Galusa, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, he came to the house of the Reish Galusa, he came to eat there for a Friday night meal, and I see Taka Kame, they brought a Shulchan in front of him. And apparently, Rabbi was not excited about the fact that they brought this Suda, this Pas, in front of him before Kiddush. He held like the Rashbam in the name of the Shiltos that it should be brought out to the table L'Kavod Shabbos And that's in order to set up a Suda Shabbos, that could be only after Kiddush. Therefore, Paras Mapa for Kiddush. He covered the Lechem, the Pas, and then he made Kiddush. Rabosai, this I believe is the source for covering over Chalmas. All the other ethical shmuzim, the Musa shmuzim, are fine and dandy. I always love a good Musa shmuz. In fact, I give a Musa shmuz here every Sunday and every Tuesday on the parasha, so you can always join me for a Musa shmuz at 11 a.m. Sunday and Tuesday. Don't forget it. But that's not the real reason why we cover the Pas. The real reason we cover the Pas is right here in Perek Arvei Pesachim on Daf Kuf Amud Beis. And that is in order to establish that that Pas belongs to a Suda Shabbos. And if it was brought onto the table before Kiddush, then it really doesn't belong to a Suda Shabbos unless we cover it over and we apply the methodology of Shmuel Poris Mapa Mekadosh. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara supports this with a Braisa. And this Bryce is going to tell us that even though there's machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda about a Suda that was begun before Shabbos, do you have to be mafsik or do you not have to be mafsik? And the Bryce says, Vishavin, again the different Girsos here, She'ein Mevinas HaShulchan Ela Im Kein Kiddush. There's one point that everybody agrees to, and that is L'chatchila, the best option, the ideal situation is that when you're coming to eat as soon as Shabbos, don't bring the table full of food before you recite Kiddush. Bring the Suda L'chvod Shabbos. And that's going to be a Hava L'shulchan L'chvod Shabbos after you recited Kiddush. V'im Hevi. But if the Braisa says you went ahead and you brought the Suda, you brought the Pas, and you placed it on the table before Kiddush, Pores Mapa Umakadish. The precess Mapa is going to accomplish as if you had taken the Pas off the table and then brought it back. When you uncover the Pas, that's considered like Havoel HaShulchan. Tani Chada, we have a Braisa that says Shavin, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agree. And what do they agree on? She'ein maschilin, that a person should not begin his meal before mincha, meaning a half hour before mincha. V'tanya ida, but we have a different braisa that says shavin, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agree, she'maschilin, that you are allowed to begin your meal before mincha. Bishleim ahad esanya shavin she'ein maschilin. We can certainly understand the braisa that says they agree that you should not begin your meal. Mishkachas lo, when does Rabbi Yossi agree that you're not allowed to begin your meal mincha time be erev Pesach? Rabbi Yossi never disagreed with our mission of Arev Pesachim that you're not allowed to eat a meal before, after mincha on erev Pesach. Ella, but what do we do with the braisa? Hadasan yeshavin shemaschilin. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to start. Amos, when is we talking about? Enam a pair of Shabbos. Well, that's true for Rabbi Yossi, but Hamiflik Pligi and Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to begin a meal Samach L'mincha on Erev Shabbos. Lo kasha kan kodem tisha kan li'achar tisha. When the Braisa says that they all agree that you're allowed to start the meal, that's before the ninth hour, and even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that on Erev Shabbos you're allowed to start your meal before the ninth hour. We don't need the Samach L'mincha, but kan, the Braisa in which it says that you're not allowed to be maschil, that's li'achar tisha, and that's going to refer to Erev Pesach, where even Rabbi Yossi agrees that you're not allowed to start your meal samach l'mincha. Now, Rabosai, we begin a sugya called Kiddush b'Beis HaKnesses. How many people in this room, just curious, have either in the past or maybe even in the present seen this minhag of reciting Kiddush in the Beis HaKnesses? Yeah, my father in Chutzlaritz was a Rav of a shul. He was very makpid. And then the whole issue was who's going to drink from the kos, and it's not Kiddush Makom Sud. I mean, the whole deal begins right here. This is where it started. Osam b'nei adam shekidshu b'Beis HaKnesses. Those who heard Kiddush from the shots, from the Shliach Tzibur in synagogue, what do they do when they get home? Have they fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush? Or do they have to recite Kiddush at home? Amar Rav, Yidei Yayin Lo Yotzu, Yidei Kiddush Yotzu. Rav says the following. There are two dimensions to this whole issue. One is, when he gets home and he wants to drink wine, does he have to recite Bor Pri HaGofen a second time? Says Rav, he does. The Bor Pri HaGofen that he recited on Yayin in the Beis HaKnesses is not going to help him for the wine that he wants to drink at home, and that's because of the halacha called Shinui Masik, that if you change locations, then you need a new bracha. However, you did Kiddush Yatzu, he heard Kiddush, and he was Yotze, the mitzvah of Kiddush. Now the Rashbam points out an unbelievable Kiddush here. Who drank the wine? He didn't necessarily drink the wine, the Shliach Tzibur drank the wine, and yet he's Yotze, the mitzvah of Kiddush, even without drinking wine. And not only that, he can now come home and eat his Suda, and his Kiddush was in shul, his Suda is at home, the Shini Makom doesn't affect Kiddush, it affects only the Birchas Bor Pri HaGofen. So if he wants to drink wine in his Suda, he's going to have to repeat the Bor Pri HaGofen. But as far as Kiddush is concerned, Rav says he was Yotze, his mitzvah of Kiddush in shul. Now there's the good news and there's the bad news. The good news is that this would justify our minhag of reciting Kiddush and Shul. But if I would take a survey, and ask you, all those who raised their hands before, do you make a second Kiddush at home? And everybody would say, of course I do. I wasn't Yotzi and Shul. Oh, so the Rashbam says that Rav holds Yesh Kiddush Afilu Shalom B'Mokum Suda. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel disagrees, and here we turn to Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. Af Yidei Kiddush Lo Yotzu. Now it's just like the Mokum, if you make a Shinui, is going to undermine your Bracha Bor Pri HaGofen, it's going to undermine your Kiddush. In other words, Ein Kiddush Ela B'Mokum Suda. You were in Shul, you didn't eat your Suda. You came home, you're about to eat your Suda, you have to recite Kiddush again. Two questions. Question number one, according to Shmuel, how do we justify our minhag that we recite Kiddush in Shul? The Manav Shaka doesn't help me. It doesn't help me for a Bor Pri HaGofen. I'm going to have to make a Bor Pri HaGofen again. That's even according to Rav. And it doesn't help me as far as Kiddush is concerned because ain't Kiddush El B'Mokum Suda. And the plot grows thicker because we actually passing like Shmuel that ain't Kiddush El B'Mokum Suda. So the Kiddush that he heard in the Beis HaKnesses is not going to be good enough when he comes home and he eats his Suda. He's going to have to make a second Kiddush. So on that question we'll have to come back to, but I have a different question that I want to ask you. According to Shmuel, why is Ein Kiddush El B'Mokum Suda? So if you look in the Mefarshim, they offer two approaches. One approach is the Rashbam's approach, and the other is Tosfos. The Rashbam has a drasha. It says, V'karasa l'shabbos oneg. And the drasha is b'makom sham tomakadesh v'koreyes haShabbos sham tisaneg bioneg Shabbos. In other words, v'karasa is a reference to Kiddush. Oneg is a reference to Suda Shabbos. And v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg means in that makom where you were korey, where you recited Kiddush, that's the makom where you can set up your oneg Shabbos. It's all the same makom. Tosfos offers another pshat. He says that we have to logically, forget about the pasuk, be koveya the Kiddush ala yayin in order to start the Suda. The yayin itself of Kiddush is the beginning, the kickoff of the Suda, and it doesn't make any sense logically to make the Kiddush here and then start a Suda elsewhere. The whole point of the Kiddush is to recite Kiddush on the wine and drink the wine. Well, wine is the beginning of a Suda. And the way we said it before, I think it makes a lot of sense. Why does Shmuel hold Ein Kiddush El B'Mokum Suda? Because you have to set up the Suda as a Suda Shabbos. And what has the power, the agency to create a Suda Shabbos? Kiddush. That's Ein Kiddush El B'Mokum Suda. As far as our minhag is concerned, why is the Kiddush in Shul? The Gemara says, so we have two questions here. Number one, according to Rav, if you yotze the mitzvah of Kiddush in Shul, because Rav rejects the principle of Ein Kiddush El B'Mokum Suda, why do you make Kiddush at home? You've already been yotze the mitzvah of Kiddush in Shul. So the Gemara gives the obvious answer. Kidei lahotzi banav ubnei beisel. They didn't hear Kiddush in Shul. What are you saying? But if they did, if enochinami, if there's no one at home, you live alone, then there's no Kiddush. Correct. The Kiddush at home would become a brachal of Atollah. It's totally superfluous. The only reason he's going to make Kiddush at home is for those who didn't hear Kiddush in Shul. Now he has the opposite question. And that is, according to Shmuel, Lama Lila Kiddushim Bebek Nishta. Why make Kiddush in Shul if anyway it's not B'makom Suda? You're not going to be Yotze without Kiddush. Lafuki Archim Yedecho Vasav. We're talking about guests that don't have a roof over their head. And in the synagogue, they had rooms for guests. Not a bad deal, huh? Save yourself a hotel course.
They just slept on the benches.
So it says here, "Di achlu v'shasu v'ganu b'beik nishta." They ate, they drank, and they slept in the shul.
Right.
Therefore, their suda, their makom suda, was the base HaKnesses itself. It comes out, Rabosai, that if we paskin like Shmuel, the justification for Kiddush in Shul is only for those Archim that are eating and sleeping in the Shul. Again, Aaron says they sleep on the benches. I don't know, I hope we can do better than that, you know. Find them a bed. But be that as it may, there's no justification for our Kiddush in our shuls because we don't have anyone who needs that Kiddush and who can be Yotze with that Kiddush. We don't have any Archim that is sleeping in the shul. So the Rishonim here go to town and they apply principles like Keva Denoigi. Once the Minig was established for those Archim that lived and slept in the shul and so on, they continue the Minig even today. But that's very strange because to continue a minhag when the minhag was relevant and it's time and recite bracha after bracha for no reason at all, that's a brachal of Atollah. And I don't understand how minhag, as great as minhag is, could justify reciting a bracha. In fact, I know my Rebbe wanted to do away with a number of brachas. I don't know if you have the tradition of saying Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh Yisrael. What does it say? The Mekadosh Shel Barabim. What is it in the Sidurim? You may have No. In the morning, there's a bracha here. What does it say? That I'm not familiar with it because I never say it. Mekadosh Hashem Chol Barabim.
Or Shmo.
Now that bracha doesn't appear anywhere in Shas. And apparently some sort of a minhag arose at some point in history. You know, if you're a historian, you'll have to research this. Maybe you can get a PhD from Bar Ilan on this. I don't know. I have a friend who got a PhD from Bar Ilan for the Haggadah Shel Pesach. He did a whole PhD thesis. And this bracha appears in the Siddur. Again, I'm not finding it now.
It's just after
Shabbat. Oh, here it is. Baruch Atah Hashem. Oh, look at that. He writes on the bottom here in the Makor HaBracha, Yesh Nogim below Hazkaras Hashem. Interesting. So that was my Rebbe's minhag. Not to say the Shem Hashem, because this bracha is some sort of a minhag that evolved, and we don't create brachas through minhagim. And there are many others. There was once a minhag, I don't think we see it today anymore, that when a father brings his son to shul for the bar mitzvah, he makes a bracha b'shem u'malchus. Again, that bracha doesn't appear anywhere in Shas. It's some sort of minhag that evolved. And here, I think most people are very makpid, as far as I know, not to say shem Hashem. And therefore, this minhag of reciting kiddush in shul for the archim, I'm not going to comment question the minhag, but I just have to tell you that after seeing the sugya inside, you know, you wonder why. The Gemara justifies that Kiddush and Shul for the Archim that sleep and eat in the Shul. We don't have that today. The Azda, Shmuel, and Tameh. And everything that Shmuel said here about Kiddush and Shul is predicated on Shmuel. The Omer Shmuel ain't Kiddush Ella, b'makom Sud. Savar Bina, after the students heard this principle revealed, established by Shmuel, Ein Kiddush al-Bemakom Suda, and then in Beis HaKnesses, you cannot fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush, because that's not where your Suda is. So they wanted to suggest the following, Hani Mili, be bias le-bias. You were in the Beis HaKnesses, now you went home, you're in a different bias. Avol, but they thought, be makom le-makom, in other words, if he goes from one room to the other, Bechad Beis in one house, lo, that's not called Shini Makom. In other words, as far as Birchas HaNenem is concerned, it could be that from one cheder to another, that might be a Shini Makom and it requires a new bracha. That's going to be an issue in Maseh the Brachas. But that's one din. Now we have another din of Kiddush B'Makom Suda. The Makom Suda is the bias. And we don't have to divide the bias into its various component parts. The whole bias is one entity as far as Makom Suda is concerned. And then the Gemara says, "Amalu Rav Hanan bar Tachlifa." I have a story to tell you about this. Zimnin Sagin, on many occasions, Havika Ibna, I was standing coming to Shmuel, and Nachis Me Igra, he came down from the higher room, that's I guess you'd call it the attic. We ara to the bottom floor, the ground floor, and he came down to eat his Suda. And guess what? V'hadar Mekadesh. He wouldn't allow Kiddush to go up, to go ahead and recite Kiddush up in the attic. He would first come down to the dining room on the ground floor, that's where he ate his Suda, and then he was Mekadesh. In other words, Shmuel was very makpid that Makom Suda means exactly that place where he's going to eat his meal. And from one cheder to another cheder would be Shalom Makom Suda. And the Gemara goes on to tell story after story. The Af Rav Huna, Savar Ein Kiddush al Makom Suda, Rav Huna Kaddish, he made a Kiddush in his house. And then what happened was, the candle that gave light to his room, it's Akra Le Shraga. Somehow it fell down and it was extinguished. The Aili Le Lemina, he took all the Kalim from that room because it was impossible to eat the Suda Shabbos in pitch dark, in darkness. And where did he go? Lebe Ganine de Rabba Bre. His son Rabba, that's Rabba Rav Huda, was shortly after his chuppah, after he got married, Davi Shraga, and there he had many candles that were lit in honor of the Simcha. And Rav Huda came into his son's chuppah, and he said, "My son, I have to make Kiddush here because I have to eat my Suda, V'Kaddish V'Tam Midi." Now it's interesting, the language of the Gemara here is V'Tam Midi, which literally means he ate something. It doesn't say that he set up an entire Suda. I'm curious to know, and we'd have to look into the Mishnah Berurah and see if you're allowed to recite Kiddush and then eat a little bit of Mizonos, V'tam Midi. Would that be enough to kick off the principle of Kiddush B'Makom Suda? But in any event, the very fact that he recited Kiddush a second time, even though he had already recited Kiddush and he began his meal up in the attic or wherever it was that he had a candle in his dining room, Alma Kassam, we see that he holds Ein Kiddush Ella B'Makom Suda. So Shmuel is not a loner here. And in addition to his Shita, we have Rav Huda's Shita agreeing with Shmuel, V'Af Rabba. Now we have a third Tana, third Amor, excuse me. Savar Ein Kiddush Ella B'Makom Suda, the Omer Abaye Ki Avina Be'Mar. Abaye was a Talmud of Rabba. And he testifies to the fact that when he was in the house of Rabba, Kihavi Mekadesh, and he recited Kiddush, Omar Lan, he would insist, Te'imu Midi, take something to eat. Why? Dilma, perhaps, we should be worried, Adias Litu, Liashpuza, until you finally get home, you know, to the dormitory or wherever you stay in your own house, Mis Akra Lechushraga, you're going to come home and it'll be pitch black. And then you won't be able to be Mekadesh in the place where you eat. And you cannot fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush with this Kiddush. So we might have shaking and get stuck without Kiddush. Why can't you fulfill your Kiddush with the Kiddush that I made? It's because the Ein Kiddush Ella B'Makom Suda, you're not eating your Suda here. So these were students of the Rebbe is Rabbah. and Rabbah insisted that his students would eat something after Kiddush, just in case they wouldn't be able to make Kiddush at home, because if they wanted Miyotzi with his Kiddush, they would have to make it into a Makom Suda, Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda. The Gemara is not happy about this. Amy, is this really true? That Abai testifies to the fact that Rabbah accepted the principle of Shmuel that Ein Kiddush El Makom Suda. Veha Amar Abaye. Abai made a general statement. Kol Mili Demar. Havi Ovid Kirav. My Rebbe Mar, that's Rabbah, always paskin in a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel like Rav. Rav takes precedence over Shmuel. Rav was of the opinion that Yesh Kiddush Elo B'Makom Suda. Labar Mehani Tlas. There are only three exceptions. Kiddush B'Makom Suda is not on this list. These are the three exceptions, cases in which Rav and Shmuel had machlokes, and Rabbah accepted the Shita of Shmuel against Rav. The Ovid Kishmuel, Rabbah did like Shmuel. What's the list here? Number one is Matirim Li Beged. Number two is Madlikin Miner Liner. And number three is Halacha Kirav Shimon Begreir. So the first issue is, are we allowed to take Chutei Tzitzis off one Beged, remove them from Beged number one, and place them, attach them onto Beged number two? Normally, we're not allowed to take off Tzitzis because you're being Mavatel, a Cheftish of Mitzvah. But for the sake of putting it on another beged, and let's presume he has a reason why he wants to use the second beged, then it's mutter. And even though Rav was opposed to it, Shmuel allowed it, and Rav accepted the view of Shmuel. The second issue is, excuse me, am I allowed to use one candle of Chanukah? Okay, we have to get a little Chanukah in here. It's already Kislev, right? So the Gemara knew that we were learning this on Kislev. So you're allowed to take, according to Shmuel, a candle that was lit as a Ner Chanukah and use it to light another candle. Normally, to take anything away from the candle of Chanukah would be a Bizui Mitzvah. But here it's not called a Bizui Mitzvah. Why? Because he's using it for the sake of what? Another Ner Chanukah. This is what we call a Davar Sheinu Miskaven. The Sanya Rabbi Shimon Omer. Gorer Odom Mita Kisei V'Safsel V'Shabbos V'Vachli Yiskaven. Lasos Choritz. Baruch Adonai Baruch Le'olam V'el. Okay, Rabosai, it's time for Myra. He is man the Kriyas Mashal Arabs. Kichumri derav, havi ovid, kikuli derav, lo havi ovid.